Blog Talk Radio.
Talk show, ladies and gentlemen. How you guys doing? Listen, that was Toni Braxton, As Long As I Live. I love Toni, but I have a celeb on here that I have to talk to right now. We have 30 minutes, so Toni had to go for a little while. Oh my goodness, how's everybody doing? Listen, I want to welcome you all to my show, and I want to thank you so very much for joining us. Okay, I appreciate you guys. I see George is on. Oh, wait a minute, who's this? I recognize a couple of y'all. I'm not going to call your names out, but just in the event that you guys want to say hello or ask a question, you can. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, normally we have a couple of hours, but today is going to be 30 minutes. We can always go back and redo it again. But watch how much I get out of him in, 28 more minutes? It's going down, ladies and gentlemen, right now. Like, I'm not playing right now, okay? It's going down. It really is. Mr. George?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. Working two jobs, a little fatigued, but I'm good.
Oh, he said a little fatigued. Aw, and I definitely understand that. I sure do understand that. But listen, with you working your two jobs and being a little tired, I'm sure you are, I just want to thank you for coming on, because a lot of people would have just, I'm tired, you know, and I get that. But thank you for coming on. Just went
Never
on ahead
a problem.
And said,
Never a problem.
That was so nice of you. Thank you. So listen, I'm not going to keep you real long, but I do want to start off with this. And then I want to tell the people that's on here that don't know you and I, or don't know a great story I'm going to tell within, you know, a couple of minutes. I want you to tell everybody where you originally came from. Let's start with that first.
I'm originally born in Brooklyn, New York. That's my hometown. Everywhere I go, I carry it with me. But, you know, I'm definitely from New York.
New York, y'all. Y'all heard that, right? I am from New York. Hello, okay? And before anybody asks, no, we didn't meet in New York. We actually met on Facebook years and years and years ago. And guys, I want to tell you a quick story before George gets started. George actually came down to Charleston, South Carolina, because he won 3 amazing awards. And that's how I met him in the flesh. And ladies, the picture that you see, he actually looks better in person. I promise you, he do. The picture, you know how you see people pictures and then when you see him in person, they don't look like that? But he actually looks better, you know? And some people look worse and some people look better. He falls in the category of looking better, okay? Sandra's saying that because I've seen
you,
it up front close to. No, it's true. No, really, it really is true. I believe that we've said this before on a show I had before with you, two shows, and anybody that's in Charleston that's seen you know what I'm talking about. You know, so a lot of people met you, so they know it's all true. So listen, George, real quick, let's talk about the virus. Tell me what you think about it. Tell me what you're doing to stay safe, and tell me what advice you would give one.
Well, I advise anybody that has, you know, first of all, I advise not to have fear. People get fear, and it causes them to lock their world in. Do the things that protect yourself, but the strongest protection is your faith. Continue doing what you're doing in life. You got to live your life for every second that God gives it, because we don't know when it's going to disappear on us or when it's going to go. It don't have to be because of the virus. But, you know, do the things that protect yourself and your loved ones. The CDC don't know everything, and doctors don't know everything, but God do. But live your life, do the things that you do that make you happy, but protect yourself in all phases of life. That's all.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, and I think you said that very well. And so with that being said, how do you feel about it? Apparently, it doesn't scare you.
No, during this whole situation, I've worked. I'm one of the essential workers, and I've been working and just doing what I normally do. I wash my hands. I work in the public every single day during this pandemic, and I just continue moving forward in good faith and do what I do.
So, you know, and the thing about it is that, you know, I like that part that you said about, you know, don't let it get you. And you might not say the way I'm saying it, but I like that part about, you know, you're telling people not to let it get you so scared till you forget about, you know, who you are in your life and what you're doing, you know. And a lot of people do that. And a lot of people are doing that. Whoever this is, from New York, I'm not sure who it is. I think this is the New York number that just came on. Whoever you are, thank you so very much for joining us. I appreciate you. Okay. If you want to say something, let me know. You can tell them hello real quick if you want. Or you want to ask a question, you can. Okay, so thank you, whoever you are, for coming on. You're so appreciated. And so, with that being said, thank you for saying that, because a lot of people are scared. I was one of the people that was scared at the beginning. I kid you not. I was one of the people that was scared, and then I had to really kind of calm myself down and understand. And then as I, you know, talked to God and got better with, you know, He helped me understand that not so much you're going to be afraid of, but at the same time, you know, it's going to be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was something that the government is talking about, essential. What was missing from the essentialness of this was us relating with each other, the love that we're supposed to give each other. We had to withdraw it, and they put so much fear in it that we withdraw the love that we would share with each other. And that's because social media was important, because it allowed us to express that love to each other, even though we couldn't physically be around each other. But, yeah, love was an essential part that was taken out. And it was almost like, you know, people was missing each other, and loved ones in hospitals and in nursing homes that they couldn't go and see. It looked like the virus took the love out of people, the connection of love, and that was the most damaging, you know. And that is what we don't have to worry about rebuilding the economy. We should be worrying about building our love and respect for each other. This is what's going on with the Black Lives Matter and all that. This virus took the essential of love for us and our fellow men right out. And as soon as that the virus came out, and even though racism always existed, it really exposed it even more, because people had nothing else to do but to add on to the fear that the virus left, and all of a sudden everything that created fear just raised back up. And of course, you just sitting home not doing nothing, watching TV, the media just threw it all in everybody's face. But yeah, they took the essentialness of love and companionship out. That's what the virus did.
Well, I think I think you're right. I also believe that, I mean, the cops killing these black kids are way worse than the virus, if you ask me. I mean, it's almost shameful.
Yeah.
A black kid can't even walk like down the street and have his hoodie on if he wants to without, you know, being stopped for whatever reason. So I think that, you know, that's awful. It breaks my heart to watch all these black kids that are walking to the store and minding their business and have their license in their cars, and, you know, cops are stopping them for no reason. Oh, I stopped you because your light bulb is broken, or I stopped you for this reason. They're stopping cops that are doctors and lawyers and stuff. So it breaks my heart. It really does to see that. I mean, I had got so teary.
Yes, this is a virus. Racism is a virus that's been happening since, Adam and Eve. Some people love and don't love. And remember now, the first murder was done in a family, and that was Abel and Cain. So if it could be that close that somebody can murder someone that is so connected to you, it's just a decade, century thing of racism and hate and disagreements that cause people to die in such unnecessary manners. But we just have to work on each work on ourselves before we work on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so that's
mm-hmm.
exactly what I see. You know.
Well, that's honestly, that's the only way. I mean, because I don't understand how a person, anyone, can take care of anybody if you don't got you first. It's like virtually impossible, in my opinion. So when you start working on yourself, we got to do that first. I mean, that's the only way we can take care of another. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
the thing is, everybody says a lot of things, but even if you disagree and don't like and have the emotion of hate, have an understanding uh-huh. that it's your emotions, not the
right.
what the other person did, not the person's color. This is what your own personal feelings are. You have to work on you or why you feeling this way to take it out on somebody else or to feel better than somebody else. I always put on Facebook, I'm breathing till I'm leaving. So whatever life brings me, whoever, dislike, uh-huh. love, whatever, all that's in the world of God, I'm breathing till I'm leaving. If it has to be brought to me, bring it.
Wow. I definitely understand that. And, you know, I put on Facebook, I said, he's a celebrity in his own right. And I said that due to the fact of me knowing you from Facebook over all the years. And when you watch the celebrities, whether it's a local celebrity or whether it's a celebrity with millions and millions and millions, and they go to, you know, they get awards and stuff. They go to those awards and they get the awards. So when you got 3 awards here in Charleston, South Carolina, you came all the way down here and made sure you got your awards, which were well worth, you know, beautiful, beautiful awards. And it was just so, you know, appreciative of you to do that. And and your poems, that's one of the greatest things that I adore about you so much. We got like 18 minutes left, but I do want you to please talk about your poems and why you started writing them. We got a little bit of time just for you to tell us that. I really want to hear, let them hear that story. And if there's anybody want to say anything, please, by all means, just let me know, because I can see you on here. If you want to just listen, that's fine, too. But I'm not sure. I can be dead wrong, guys. But I think this is my friend Charlene from New York. If it is, Charlene, you, I love you. I always will love you, whether this is or ain't you. And thank you so much for your support. You are freaking amazing. We don't have a whole lot of time like we did before. So if you want to say something, Charlene, let me know. If not, you can just listen and let me know when we get off if that was you, okay? And if it's not you, whoever you are, thank you for joining and all the other people. I'm not, you know, leaving anybody out, okay? All right, so George, listen, let's talk a little bit about your poetry. When did you start writing it, and why did you start writing?
Well, I don't know. It was just I was a young kid. As soon as I started writing, I'm learning to write the alphabet. I think I'm probably 5th grade. I started writing poetry, and I won a lot of awards in school and stuff for writing. And from 5th grade all the way to high school. I even had a teacher that collected all my poetry, and they got away with writing a little book, putting a little book with all my work in it. But, you know, my work is, to me, is just an expression of how I see things, my feelings, my aspects, it's just, I don't know, God can put a sentence in my head and a verse will come out. So, uh-huh. And then I used to be a rapper back in the 80s, so that was always how I could put words into verse, because if anybody noticed, I write my poetry in verse, which means rhyme. So, you know, so that's because of the trying to be a rapper back in the 80s. But for some reason, like I stated, I met most of them, all those old school. Believe me, I've written for some groups and stuff. But
sure.
Back in the days, it was just God would put a sentence in my head, and once with that sentence, I can keep going from there. I was even tested at one time. They said, we're going to give you a word. Just one word. Can you write on that? And they got up to 27 words, and I wrote 27 poems.
Wow.
So,
well, let me ask you something.
It's just something that God influences.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. I know that when rappers rap, a lot of them say, well, they rap what they've lived, or they rap what they might have seen with a friend, or, you know, just a situation or somebody they knew, or, you know, it's always surrounded around something when most rappers rap. Is your poetry the same way? Have you ever lived out any of the things that you did poetry with?
Well, yes. Well, that's one of my things I try to keep hidden of my personal and my poetry. A lot of, because I wrote it, it is personal, but a lot of things don't have to be something personal that happened to me. There's a thing in psychology that they say that you're able to feel other people's pain. You're able to see other people's destinies. You're able to notice other people's warts. So in life, so when you're able to see that, you're able to write on it, you know, because you're blind don't mean you don't see the world in the way that you see it. Don't mean that you don't hear the world the way that you hear it. So you're able to express it back. I don't need to touch the stove to know it's hot. So because of that talent, I'm able to feel an emotion and write on it. I don't have to be the one that's actually experiencing it, but because of the spirit that we all have, I can tap a spirit, somebody's spirit of their feelings, and write on that, like if I've been through it myself.
Ooh. So have anybody ever told you a story and then you did it, you know, you wrote their story, like you might have sat,
yeah.
I'm sure you've sat down listening to a lot of people's stories. Have anybody ever told you their story and you went and did a poem on it?
No, I would not do that unless they ask me to write something on that. To me, that's another way of plagiarism, that somebody told me something that's going on with them and I decided to write on it. That's not original thought. So, you know, that to me, that's like plagiarism. So I can take an emotion and write on it, but something that somebody told me about their life or what's going on with them or what they've been through, I wouldn't do that to nobody.
Right, and I meant with their permission. Would you do it with their permission?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been asked to write poetry for weddings, funerals, to people's families. One guy even wanted me to write to his girl several times. I ain't know the woman. I just kept writing poetry to him so he could send to his wife. You know, so that worked out just fine for years. And, you know, it's like you take yourself in, you put yourself out in the world, and just let your spirit touch whatever they desire in words. And you just write to it.
Wow. Well, I know you were a gentleman that not only did I, you know, met on Facebook, but came down to Charleston, met in person. And I didn't know you had so much talent. Honestly didn't. And this was way before, you know, I even met you. And then I finally did meet you and back and forth on Facebook for years. And, you know, you coming down here, I really started seeing, you know, the greater in you, you know, as a man. You know,
you're probably one of the only You're probably one of the only people on Facebook that saw me actually dance.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I did. Yeah. Maybe he didn't do too much of it, but I remember when you first came. Yeah. You had all the suits. You weren't sure which one you wanted to wear. I remember all that. I didn't want to put you out on a skid row. Listen, I didn't want to put you on a skid row. Well, you actually did figure out what suit you was going to wear, though. It was fly, though. It really was. But and we got a little bit more time, but tell everybody where they can go to see your poetry. I want to make sure we get that out.
Well, just be on my page. I also have a poetry corner that says George Poetry Corner. Everybody's invited to join it if they decide to, or just have it and read. Or you can put your own poetry on it. It doesn't have to be just my poetry. I think only out of the 700 people that have joined my poetry page, two or three people might add their words to it. But it's welcome to anybody that just want to be able to read. Reading is a lost art, and not only just reading is a lost art, reading with emotional intent is a lost art. You know, you want to read and feel what you read. And, you know, you want to be able to have thoughts of it when you walk away. You want to be able to carry it with you, the ideas and the sentences that you have read, you know, the emotion of it. And I just appreciate that God allows me to allow people to be able to still keep reading.
Wow. Well, I do want to commend you and congratulate you on my show, the Sandra Wilson's World Radio Talk Show Celebs, on your new house. It is beautiful.
Thank you.
The furniture is beautiful, and everything just looks amazing in there. So I just wanted to congratulate you here on my show and say you did
Thank
an amazing
you.
Job. You did. Yes, you did. So,
It's always coming.
I'm sure. But you know what? You're so well-deserved, though. You know, do you have your award somewhere around the living room or somewhere there?
Well, I hate to tell you the story of that. I love my mother very much before she passed away. When I came back
Aww.
With the awards, I gifted my mother with one. I gifted my father with one. But due to a relationship my mother was in with my stepfather, who raised me also, he didn't care much about my award that I gave her. And when I found out after she passed that he actually threw it away. My father passed and he had one. So then one other person has one who works for SiriusXM Radio. So, you know, they got it on their desk and whatnot. So it's moving around. But,
well, you know
yeah,
what? That's okay because I gave it. Listen, I gave it to you. Whatever you decided to do with it, which was great to me, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
It went in a great place, you know. So it doesn't matter
well,
what happened
actual,
to him or.
Yeah, the actual award to me was actually coming down south and meeting y'all and the rest of the people down there. That was, I mean, you can give me any material thing, but that. Atmosphere of being with y'all and meeting y'all and Shaw Williams and Sergio and all the, that was an experience. The award could sit on a table, but that was an experience I would carry with me for the rest of my life.
I'm sure. Well, they were so beautiful. We were all just standing there looking, and I mean, I had such a great time, you know, getting that and giving it to you guys. They were so nice and thick and beautiful and big. I just loved them, and I love the fact
and
that they were
heavy to carry
awards.
Home.
What's that? Yeah, I know, right?
And
I know. Right?
I had to carry them all the way back to New York.
I know, right? I'm surprised you ain't get jacked for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm surprised
yeah.
you didn't get jacked for him. Listen, I got to tell you something. I am so freaking sorry that this is a short interview. We really wanted it to be a long one, but this is a very short one. As a matter of fact, it's about to end in just a second. But I got to tell you this. Listen to me, George. One of my favorite people in the whole world is on here. Hi, Devine. I see you, baby. How you doing? That's my girl. She is so freaking amazing. No, seriously, I got to tell you something. With this movie, her and her husband helped me so much, and they're just so appreciated. Listen, guys, please
well,
don't get mad at me, y'all.
Congratulations on your movie, yes.
Thank you. She's one of the stars in the movie. She's like it's one of the top stars way up there. Like, as a matter of fact, we have one last thing that we have to do. I can't tell you about it, you know, but yeah. So we got one last thing we're going to do. George, I have about 6 minutes. But guys, listen, with all due respect, I am not being anybody that, you know, I'm not like trying to be favoritism or anything like that. But I really do want my Demean, and I want George to meet just to say hello real quick. And we won't be on long, but he's got to tell her hello. I love this lady. Yes, yes. This is my girl. Hi, baby.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, girl. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm good. Listen, I wanted you to say hello to George. George, this is the mean. She's in the life of an OG cougar.
Oh, I know of her. Oh, don't.
You know
I know her. I mean, I know her from Facebook. Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Jermaine, look at you being all freaking, what you call that? All freaking, everybody know you. You better get,
girl.
Yeah,
I know her, yeah.
She does a lot of things.
How you doing?
This lady,
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good. I haven't seen you lately on the book, but I do go on your page to check out your motions.
Thank you.
And I do your
you
pictures.
You guys, she laughing. She laughing, George. She got, girl, you're getting, you're famous, girl. But she does outside. but she does a whole lot of. I mean, mine's just at the end of the, you know, at the end, you know, I was back then, but she got so much coming out, and everything she do, I make sure I support it. I go wherever she go, I watch everything. So she got a lot of great things
she's
coming out.
She's a busy woman. Oh my,
isn't
she's so
she?
Busy.
Her and her husband, Mr. Christopher. Yeah, the both of them. Yeah, but they got it going on though.
Busy
they're not just
people.
They're my favorite couple. I got a lot of beautiful couples I love, but they're my favorite couple. Like, I love them two together. I've never seen nothing like it. Seriously, I've never seen nothing like it. But listen, I had to put her on, guys. I'm sorry. I love this lady, and I had to for her to say hello. And then George's going to tell me, I know her. I love that. So listen, we got like 4 minutes left. So George, well, what I'm going to do, Demi's going to stay on, I hope, and listen to the rest of it. And then within the 4 minutes, I want you to just talk to us and tell us what you want us to know. Demi, you going to be able to stay on for the next few minutes, baby?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you, girl. That lady is famous. Famous. She is famous. Okay, George, so listen, we got 4 minutes left, but I do want to tell you this. We're going to have to redo this all over again and get that 2 hours in, you know, because let me tell you something. I got as a matter of fact, George, I want to tell you, when Renee was setting it up, setting the show up, she was running through the shows. And then she complimented me. She said, Mama, you know, she was telling me how, you know, all the good shows. And, of course, Demi and her husband came up. That was one of the flyest shows. I got to tell you, one of the flyest shows I had. Everybody's show is amazing. Don't get me wrong, people. But that was just, I had so many people on there. I was like, oh, Jesus. Oh, boy. Okay. I had to do the board and everything. It was really good, though. But listen, what I do love about it is that when we do them, you can go get them, put them on Facebook, George. I will go on Facebook, George, and I will, put it out there for you, put it all over. And we have to redo it because we only got 3 minutes. But with the last 3 minutes we do have left, please tell us about anything that you would like to say that I may not have asked. You got 3 minutes to go ahead and dig in, George.
Well,
another one of my
favorite people in the whole world. I'm very simple about everything in my life. You know, I'm 60 years old. I was born in 1959, and I've seen a lot of things come and go from the 60s throughout to the 2000s to 2020. And the things that everybody's panicking about, just keep yourselves in tight, you know, hold tight. We got through a lot of things. I mean, I've lived my life, and I've seen all the things. I've lived during the time when they had the atomic bomb scare, that they thought that Russia was going to drop a bomb. We're in school. We got to duck and cover under death. I've been through the times where they were riding the streets in the Black Panthers. I've been through the times where they were tearing up cities in the 60s and 69 through Kennedy being shot. I've been through the Martin Luther King being killed. I've seen some terrific things happen on this planet since I've been born, since I've been breathing. Don't stress this world. Don't stress it. Do what
you do
best. Gotta keep yourself the best that you can. Fear will take away your joy in a heartbeat. Fear will make you hate somebody for no reason. Question God. Fear will make you question God. Try not to even feel that. Control that type of emotion. You know, I mean, it's not easy. I'm not saying desensitize yourself, but if anything that is so powerful that takes your mind off of God can victimize you. I don't care what it is.
Can.
It could be a story you love. If they take your mind off of God for a millisecond, you could be lost in
listen.
The fear, and life is different.
Okay, no disrespect to you, my love. But listen, I only have a few minutes. It's going to go off in 60 seconds, but what I want to say, we have to redo another show, okay? And I just
wish
you come back on, George. I loved it, this show. Demi, thank you. And the people that are on here, you won't say who you are. You see, if you'd have told me, well, actually, I put Demi on here. Oh, my goodness. George, thank you so much. George, oh, my God, I love you, dude. You are one of my top guys, top-notch guys. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the short show, but we're going to do another one, okay? This is Sandra Sinner with the Blog Radio Talk Show. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys have a good night, okay? George, thank you. Goodbye, guys.
Welcome.
Have a great night. Tony Braxton, as long as we live. Hey. such a beautiful lady, I tell you. Oh, shucks, look at me.